And now my friends on TalkSport, Alan Talk, time to talk about a truly unique and fascinating book about football and one of the world's leading footballing nations, Argentina, from a perspective I'd never thought of. It's all about the language. And if they say, OK, so it's about Spanish, I've got to stop you right there and introduce you to the author of, I hope I pronounce this vaguely correctly, Dame Bola, A Journey Through the Language of Argentinian Football, written by Christopher Hyland, who wrote a previous book I read years ago now, it seems, Tears at La Bombonera. And Christopher joins us now. First of all, I suspect to correct my pronunciation of your book, because that means, like, pass it to me or take account of me, doesn't it, Dame Bola?
Yeah, Dame Bola means give me the ball, pass me the ball. That's the literal meaning. The metaphorical, figurative meaning is to pay attention to me, listen to me. The only way that you can pass somebody the ball is to be aware of their presence, right? So it's one of many phrases they use that come from football, but they use as a metaphor in everyday situations.
What's fascinating about your book is, I don't thought of it this way before, but it's football that unifies that nation, massive migration, you know, 2 million people from Italy, I think you said at one point, and, you know, its population doubles and quadruples over about 50 years. And of course, they've all got different interests and different pursuits and rival interests, but football brings them all together when they're on the world stage. Of course, that means, and the language of this newly formed country, while I said Spanish, it's not really Spanish, is it? It gave you trouble when you first moved there.
Yeah, well, it's football, footballer's identity. They used it. Argentina were very lucky that they were good at football very early. And that's thanks, obviously, in part to the British influence and the British teaching the local criollo people how to play football. But they did try to form identity by going to war with Brazil. That was one of the suggestions. But as their football took off and as they got better at football on the global stage at an early stage, football really did become my identity. And it is littered with, initially, it's littered with a lot of English phrases. The rules, the referees were all in English. And then a lot of Italian words came with that migration. So the slang, the street slang of Buenos Aires and the rest of Argentina as a result is Lunfardo, which comes from Lombardy in Italy. So it's littered with, as language tends to be, a lot of adopted words, a lot of words that are adapted to the local tongue.
And what's fascinating about the book is, folks, as you go through it, it's kind of a glossary of some of these terms, obviously a literal translation, which Christopher's doing for us there as well, but also the kind of echoes of why it came about. A couple of words I think we could do with. I'm just opening the book again at random. I mean, we all know un amargo or una amarga, which is basically a fair weather fan, a part-time person, but somebody who really only boasts about their support for a team or mentions it when their team's doing well. And the fact that I've had to take so many words to explain that means we could do with this word, I think, in the English football lexicon.
The translation is to be bitter, which works. There are lots of words and phrases that we could adapt. And that's the fascination with language, is that it gives you a different perspective, a different lens of seeing, in this case, football through. So by all means, read the book and adapt. I'd love to see some of the phrases adapted.
Also, if you ask somebody... How would you like a pancake to football in terms? I'd have said initially a very flat game. Flat, just flat, nothing going on, a bit of a meh. It's not that at all, though, is it, in panqueque, however you pronounce it?
Panqueque. Yeah, I think the Spanish also use the word tortilla to be like fried on both sides. And Maradona talks about the tortilla. But a panqueque is somebody who you can use on both sides, essentially, which means that they are fair weather, relatively fickle.
And there's also this notion of the style of play of Argentina, which I'd not really consider it. I always think of flair, I think of individual genius, obviously the Maradonas, there's only one of those. But there's also an explanation in your book and an analysis of anti-football or anti-football. Tell us about that, if you would, please.
Anti-football is something that came about after 1958 when they lost to Czechoslovakia 6-1 at the World Cup in Sweden. Argentinian football had been isolated for a number of years on the international stage, and they hadn't actually come up against many opponents, certainly from Europe. And they thought their style of football, their brilliant individual style of football, all to do with, as you say, skill, flair, individualismo. They thought that was going to trump on the world stage. Sorry, that's a terrible word to use today. In the 40s, they probably would have won the World Cup had there been any World Cups. They went to Sweden in the World Cup, got battered by Czechoslovakia. And the result of that was anti-football, this very cynical way of playing football, very dirty. A lot of gamesmanship, a lot of naughty things, let's say, happening on the pitch. And that was the predominant style of play for the throughout the 60s. And Manchester United fans would have some will remember, some will have heard the legendary games against Estudiantes in the Intercontinental Cup in the 60s, incredibly violent affairs that actually led to European teams not wanting to participate anymore in those games.
Well, I think it was against Uruguay, wasn't it, that Sir Ralph Ramsey came on the pitch and said, animals, they play animals out there in the World Cup. It must be in the 66 World Cup, I presume.
66 was against Argentina, and 62,
oh, 62
Uruguay.
Yeah, Uruguay, I think it was. Then they were a brutal side, he said.
They were brutal too. 62 was Chile against Italy, which was one of the most violent games, and that led to the yellow and red cards, actually, which was, you said you read the first book. That was in the first book. Ken Aston, the English referee. It was a particularly ugly period of time in Argentinian football, and actually probably in society too, because it was right before the last dictatorship, the worst one of the lot.
Now, there's also, I'm flicking through the book desperately, trying to find whether it's Uruguay or Argentina that use a phrase about some native peoples who, they use it as a badge of, you know, we're great, we're lost, but they effectively exterminated these native peoples, whichever nation it was. Does that ring any bells? I know you wrote the book a little while ago. It's just such a disturbing story, that.
Uruguay, they're very proud of calling themselves Garra Charrua. That's their style of football. That's the Diego, I was going to say Diego Simeone, but he's, of course, Argentinian. We talk about, in the book I write, that Uruguay and Argentina have the same background. So their language is very much the same, and their football development is very much the same. So we talk about Argentina and Uruguay essentially in the same breath. But the Garra Charrua, the Charrua peoples were exterminated by the new people of Uruguay, which were the Spanish, of course, as well as Italians and many other nationalities. Argentina also have a lot of, towards the end of the book, there are loads of phrases coming from the Argentinians' engagements with the indigenous tribes that they encountered across Patagonia and the north.
There's also things that have kind of more recently turned up in the photographs of the book. There's one player, I'll probably get his name probably, Ramiro Funes Mori. He dreamt about, apparently, okay, what's the score? He wants to be in the Premier League. He dreamt about doing a knee slide celebration, which, of course, he made a few times for Everton. It's reassuring that those kind of things are still filtering into language, that the language of football, like all language, is constantly changing with often input that kind of bubbles up from the street level.
It's come full circle because the Argentinian football started with English words, and now the Premier League is so dominant. The quality of Argentinian football is very poor. They lose their best talent very early. And the Premier League, with internet, with satellite television, all these things, the last 10, 15 years has become very accessible in Argentina. So a lot of the Premier League is covered in Argentina. The knee slide in particular, they're so fascinated by the wet pitches, how you can slide for 5, 10, 15 yards. And you see, there are players in Argentina who try to replicate it on very dry pitches, and it looks very painful.
Oh, what can you imagine?
Well, good morning, fact, mate. My knees are actually now hurting thinking of that.
This became a producer and co-presenter.
I'm going to try and use some of these phrases to our South American football expert, Tim Vickery,
Tim's quoted in the book.
Fantastic. Well, I was wondering as well, all roads lead to Southampton on this show with me being a Saints fan, mate. And Mauricio Pochettino, when he arrived, he used a translator. So did Bielsa at Leeds. I was wondering, is that because we don't often see foreign managers using translators? Is that more of an Argentinian thing, worried that their phrases may get lost in translation?
Yeah, I think if you see how Unai Emery at Arsenal was, and still today is, kind of mocked for his level of English, he can't get his point clearly across. I think it's probably a wise thing to do. I think it goes the way certainly the Bielsa wants to talk about football is so abstract and so intellectual that I think it would take him. I think his English got quite good, but I don't think he wanted to use it in those situations. So I would probably advise using an interpreter at the beginning.
I used to love the moments when Bielsa's translator would suddenly be startled by something Bielsa had said. He had to translate it into something more diplomatic. Listen, we urge you to get hold of the copy of this book, folks. It's our book of the week. It's called Dame Bola, D-A-M-E as in Dame and then Bola, published by Pitch, A Journey Through the Language of Argentinian Football, written by Christopher Hyland, author also of Tears at La Bombonera, stories from a six-year sojourn in South America. We also meet some great characters, some great players and their nicknames. You will meet Corrugated Iron, you meet Bigfoot, you meet the Little Witch and the Grouch, but you'll also meet a man who sounds like he should be turned into some kind of movie of his life. Carlos de Marta, known as El Sordo, the Deaf. A deaf mute who played professionally, I think, in, what was it, 68 to 1970, 72, around that era.
There were, in fact, two players who had that same the same story, the same background. It just shows how accessible Argentinian football is and how popular it is. It's the way out of, it's the cliche, of course, it's the way out of poverty, it's the way out of the slum, but It didn't stop neither of these two players, in fact, who
Amazing.
were both deaf mutes.
And also, there's one player called, probably maybe close to your heart, because you're, I know, of Norwegian heritage as well as English, Enrique Harbina Elvikingo, if you pronounce that way, the Viking. Was he actually of Norwegian stock, this fella?
No, he just had a long red beard, essentially. He was of Croatian stock.
He was one of two, two Vikings, weren't there, as well as two mutes.
Yeah, quite. Well, the latest version of Viking is Beltran, who plays in Fiorentina. He's also just got a red beard, which is why they call him Viking. But the first Viking, Rabina, was, they still sing his name. He was famous for throwing himself headfirst into tackles. If that ever comes up, at the he played for Boca. He was a captain of Boca Juniors. If that ever happens at La Bombonera, you still today, 40 years later, they shout Viking or after Enrique Rabina.
It's a wonderful book, folks. It's social history, it's character studies, it's also in a guide to the culture, society and language of Argentina, a fascinating part of the world. And as I mentioned, it quotes our very own Tim Vickery right near the start of the book as well. And that was Christopher Hyland, top author of Dame Bola, A Journey Through the Language of Argentinian Football, published by Pitch, our TalkSport book of the week. And we're live, my friends, till 5.